We'll discuss tonight a very interesting and very difficult question of DNR, which stands for Do Not Resuscitate. The question being, if someone is terminally ill, no chance of recovery, and the only way for the person to continue living is a life of pain, the treatment or just being status quo is in tremendous pain. What is preferable in Judaism? To live a life of pain, or death maybe is preferable to a life of pain? Again, life of pain being terminally ill. So let's go back to Navi for a second. There was a terrible king of Yeravim ben Nevat, a big Russia. And basically, to make a long story short, his son became very ill. And he sent his wife out of his own kingdom to the competition's kingdom, which was demeaning himself and taking a big chance. She disguised herself and went to the Navi. And she asked about her son, Avia. And the Navi said, go home. When you go home, as you set foot into your town, he will die. He will get a eulogy, he'll be buried. Because he did a Dabar Tov. He did something good. But the rest of Yeravim's family will be destroyed. So basically, the Navi told the mother of a child, the moment you step foot into the town, it's over. If you don't, so what are the implications? If you don't go home for 10 years, then your son won't die for 10 years. He'll live for 10 more years, albeit seriously ill in a life of pain. So obviously, she chose to go home. So the question is, what right does the mother have to go home? Does she have a right to go home now, knowing that by her going home, she's going to kill her son? The Briskarov, a case in Russia where someone was on his last wish and that they were going to kill him in the jails until they spoke to a rabbi. The Briskarov refused to come. He says, I'm not going to be a murderer. So was Yeravim's wife mutted to go home? And forget about the halakha kitchen. Maybe she didn't care what the halakha said, but how could a mother go home and knowing that by you going home, your son's going to die? That's the issue. Is, if you know he will recover, so maybe you're willing to go along with the treatment. But if a person won't recover, like in this case, in other words, a mother or a parent will be able to take it. Okay, we'll go through all the suffering. There's something I could see at the end of the tunnel. But there's no light at the end of the tunnel. A Navi tells you that's it. Forget about a doctor, a Navi. So then, maybe that's it. The medicines aren't Kedai. That was the issue. And Yeravim ben Nevat's wife said it wasn't Kedai. What's the Alpi Halacha, what's the better choice? We know there's a Dr. Kokorkian. He was a nutcase murderer. Now he's a folk hero. There's a famous story with Rav Isaac Harif. He lived there about 100 years ago. He was ill. The doctors pronounced him dead. And he went ahead and he lived. And he saw the doctor. He ran after him. I said, you don't have to worry. It's okay. You were right. When I went up to heaven, I saw the line, Tov L'Rofim U'Gehenim, the best of doctors to Gehenim. And I pulled you out of the line and said, he's not a doctor. Doctors save people. Don't pronounce people dead. Nasan Rishus Rapos. The Torah only gives permission for a doctor to heal, not to give up hope, not to kill. So that's the question. What's better? What's preferable? Life of pain or death? So the Tzitz Eliezer, Leza Waldenberg, writes that life is superior to death. Yafe sha'achas b'tshuva ma'asi tovim. How great is a moment of tshuva and ma'asim tovim in olam hazeh mikol chayei olam haba. The virtue of one moment of life you can't measure it. Even under a life of pain, it's still worth it. And what's the proof? We know if a building falls on top of a person, they're going to die anyway in 5 minutes. You're allowed a machal Shabbos for Chayei Isha. It doesn't make sense. You're allowed to save him at the same time you're praying for his death. He's better off dead. And we say in Tehillim, Yasra Yasreini Kav Lomamas Gosanani, life of Yisurim is preferable to a life of death. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, in the Sichas Musar, in the Oshar HaChayim, he has the case of the three advisors, Bilam, Yisro, and Eov. Bilam, we know, is the worst, and he was killed. Eov wasn't as bad, had a life of Yisurim. So we see death is worse than Yisurim. Better to live a life of Yisurim than to be killed. So we see from that school of thought that it's better, always better to live. However, from the Gemara in Kiddushin, Gemara in Ksuvis, with the famous story with Rebbe, we see in the opposite direction. We see Rebbe last day was sick. Originally, Absidari was praying she should get better, but she changed her mind. She saw the suffering. She threw the jug off the roof, and they stopped praying. So we see, and the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Moshe, the Ran and the Durim, they all paskin like Absidari Rebbe, that there is a time that Judaism recognizes that it's too much to take. A life of pain is so great that it's roi l'spal olam. You can't actively kill someone. But we recognize there's a time in halacha where you can pray for someone's death. But to paraphrase the pasuk in Keheles, Eisrael ledes, there's a time of birth and there's a time of death. And the Sefer Chassidim writes, a certain time, there is a point where roi lamus, that one is got a mispalel, or perhaps withhold treatment because the pain is so great. The Tzitz Eliezer claims the Ran is a Das Yaka. We pass him like the students of Rebbe, not the maidservant. And basically, Rav Pam always likes to machalik between the difference between conscious life versus, if a person's in a coma, no chance of recovering, so then it says, Yafisha Akas v'maisim tovim. If you're in a coma, you can't do anything. But if someone who's alive and he could fight through the pain, so maybe then it's preferable. In fact, we have an explicit Gemara telling us. The problem is the Gemara tells us both ways. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Hananya ben Tarfon, who said that the Romans were wrapping up in the Sefer Torah and they burnt him alive, they moist the wool. He told the Roman soldiers to remove the wet wool and make the fire hotter, and he promised him Olam Haba. So we see from here that better to be dead in those couple of minutes early than to have to suffer. And the Gemara continues, students told him to open mouth and let the smoke go in, and therefore you'll die quicker. And he said, I have no right to take my life 1 second early. Implying is that a life of pain for a couple of minutes. So we see from, it depends on which aspect of the Gemara you think is the Iker. The Chafetz Chasim Sofer learns like the Tzitz Eliezer that one never has a right to hasten his death. So how does Rav Moshe learn this Gemara? What's Pshat this Gemara? Rav Chanina ben Trajon. How does he learn why he was? Everyone agrees you can't hasten the death directly, so why are you allowed to do it here? Ulai ben Noach Shani, perhaps a non-Jew is different. If you can live a life of pain, perhaps even be Yadayim. However, on the other hand, he writes, maybe if in the Rambam it's that ben Noach isn't different, and Ulai Hora Shah Shani, you can't bring a proof in that case, it was a special situation there. Halacha l'maisa, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach talks about withholding treatment. We basically never withhold oxygen or food. It's only surgery and that type of thing we're willing to do. And if a person is a Yirei Shamayim, you try to explain to him, Sha Achas, he should choose to live, but he's not obligated. Why not obligated to go through treatment? Because the mitzvah is, Bekum V'aseh. And you know, you only have to spend a certain amount of your money on it. But you're not obligated to go through it, but it's optional. And this, practically speaking, DNR, things are always changing. Maybe you don't rush into any decision. Just keep in mind, it's an extra acharias on you, because the nurses are going to give up if they say you give up. So, Avia was zocha to. So, what good could come out of any of this discussion? So, Avia was zocha to kfur. He was the only one to be buried because he did something good. He was bitul mishmarto. The Yeravim ben Nevat stopped the Jewish people from being olarego. He went ahead and did it. Who was Avia? So, the Gemara says, in Moed Katan 28b, one thing good, he did olarego. The Gemara Sanhedrin seems to call him a tzaddik. So which one was he? A tzaddik, or was he just, he did one thing good in his life? So the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva, Perakim Halacha Beis, every Jew has mitzvahs and averas, we know that, but one great tzchus can outweigh many averas, can make everything worthwhile. One maisa can make things all worthwhile. The terminally ill, is it worth it or for what? I can't tell you for what. If something good comes out of it, one davar tov comes out, then maybe it is. Maybe it's an exceptional kivud av aim by the parents. Cholot does one more mitzvah. Hashem saved Lot and his descendants, even though there are a lot of descendants who are going to torture the Jews. Because why? Because Rus will come out. So one good thing coming out makes all the suffering worthwhile. Sometimes for one thing it's worth it. For one life, for one good thing. Ma'at min ha'or do chaharbe min ha'choshech. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on how he judges the act, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the Gavra. And this dilemma with the Chelm story, that people, you know, it's not always what we think. You know, the rabbi, the chazak goes and thing is great, now you're in the wrong door, but the other person's hard to see, especially the fibers and good other people get to see it, but it's very hard if you're involved. Yerei Shemayin, you know, Lo Alina, none of us should have any of this, but encourage them to live longer despite the fact that the person. So you can never actively go ahead and kill anybody, but to be mispala, you're not actually doing it. There is a time where a person can be mispala. And that's why, in fact, the question is, you know, by Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the fact they were able to go in and give up their life, they were lucky. If they would have been tortured, they would not have been able to withhold the withhold the pain. So we see torturing is worse, pain is worse than life of pain is worse than death. So, but the question is, how do we know? We know that if you're being tortured, you're not allowed to do Avodah Zarah. I mean, you're not necessarily, you're being honest, if you're nixshel, you're not allowed to. Why not? Because, why not? If we say a life of pain is worse than Misa, so the Torah only tells me I have to give up my life, but maybe I don't have to give up pain. But then we see Misa must be worse, and Yisurim are on a low level. So there's no doubt that the Tzitz Elias is right. You can't, the value of 1 minute of life, you can't compare. There's an ideal 24 hours a day to learn and sleep. We have to realize the ideal, but it's not an obligation. In other words, sometimes we can be spalot for death over Yisurim. Amasa came back and said, I made a mistake. It was Gaiva that stopped him. So we have to realize that the Torah only obligates the minimum. But the idea is, you know, if one is able to, Yafesh Achas, so it's no machokas. Rav Moshe, the Arachal Shulchan, is telling us, Api Halacha, we recognize there is a point where one might, there's so much pain, you might have to be willing to, can't take the suffering anymore. However, the idea is if one can, and if do one more thing for one Dava Tov, it might all be worth it. And that's what they point out. That's what you point out from Avram, the Lech Lecha. Torah doesn't begin with Or Kastim, but begins with Lech Lecha. Because the Torah is a Torah Chaim, it's a way of life. And go away, and we shouldn't have to make those decisions. But we know the value of even one moment of life in Jewish law.